The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm so glad you're with me tonight, and I'm glad to be with you again on Sunday night, where God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not your problem. He's never been your problem. Jesus is the answer, and he loves you more than you and I can possibly understand. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 3 tells us it's going to take all eternity for us to get to know what is the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Man, God loves us more than we can possibly imagine. Praise God. And he is with you. He's not against you. And there is no fear in love. The more you know how much God loves you, the more you are free from all fear. Praise God. And that's why faith is so important. Faith is the key to overcoming, and faith is the only way to please God. And by faith, we overcome. David, the scripture says, he said, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. God gives us the strength and the ability. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad to be with you tonight. Glad that you are live with us. I'm going to ask you, if you're on Facebook, give me a quick share or a like. And if you are listening on realityradio101.com, go ahead and share that and send it out to your friends and family. We've got people listening from all over the world, as we do every week. And once again, we've got more people listening this week than we did last week. We get more and more listeners all the time. And it just shows you that people are hungry and they want to know the truth, and they want to know, what do I do to be successful in Christ? This past week, we had folks listening from Brazil, Congo, Estonia, Israel. Praise God. Going to Israel in September, I encourage you to come with us. And Bishop Butler, my pastor, Most of you know by now that I'm back here in the United States right now helping Bishop Butler. And, you know, even when I was in Canada that entire time as a senior pastor for 12 years, I always saw myself helping Bishop Butler with the vision. That's what God has called me to do. And I've been doing that for the last 18 years, and that hasn't changed. The kingdom of God is not about an individual. The kingdom of God is about Jesus Christ and his kingdom being established in this earth and getting more and more people into the kingdom. Praise God. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. This past week, we had, oh, by the way, if you want to come to Israel with us, you can go to wordoffaith.cc/Israel, wordoffaith.cc/Israel. Praise God. We had people from Jamaica, from Norway, of the United States. And of course, our number one listeners is from, oh, Canada. Praise God. Love Canada. Love the people of Canada and praying for the people of Canada. Amen. Hallelujah. And then let's give a shout out to the folks joining us here on Facebook. We've got Miss Christine tuned in tonight, and we have Yulette. Good evening, Yulette, and good evening to, praise the Lord. Let's see if my scroll is going to work. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Jan, good evening. Janet Balick, good evening. Gilda Garfield, Joan. Praise the Lord. Denise and Ron, good evening. Praise God. Susan and Andrew, good evening. Shout out to Cheryl Noreen, good evening. Wendy Daniel, one of my favorite people on the earth, good evening. My mom, Judy, good evening. And many others are joining us. Todd, good evening. It's hard to see you in this little window that I have here for some reason. But I hope I didn't miss anybody. And if I did, don't get offended. Give yourself a hug and consider yourself hugged from me. Praise the Lord. Pauline Eastman, good evening. Amen. Well, let's pray, get into the word tonight. Once again, give us a like, give us a share, send out the link. And if you want to get on board, this is a live radio show. Love to hear from you. If you have a Bible question, if you have a prayer request, if you have just a comment, you can email me right now, instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Good evening to Margaret. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll get right into the word. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory and praise and honor tonight. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercy. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you're doing. We're so grateful tonight that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. At the entrance of your word is revelation and understanding, and that you are always the same. You never change. And we worship you for that. We thank you for that. And we praise you for that. You are so good and wonderful to us. And we thank you tonight for your faithfulness. Thank you for a flow of the Holy Spirit on this radio show, that every listener and every person watching on Facebook, that their spirits are charged, their minds are renewed, and each one encouraged and strengthened tonight. And we give you thanks in advance, for unto you belongs all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. No flesh shall glory in your presence. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's read our foundation text found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. And we will read verse 13. And verse 13 says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." And it's really important to understand that there is no faith without speaking. If you believe it in your heart, then you openly, boldly confess it. You make a declaration with your mouth of God's word. Praise God. Confidence in Christ is so important. And being persuaded that God's word is true and that God does not change his mind. Those of you that follow me on Facebook, I posted something this morning from the book of Romans where it says, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And I'm trying to remember exactly what I put, but something to the effect that God never changes his mind, But sometimes people get confused. Well, how do they get confused? People get confused because there is a real enemy, and Satan's job is to produce confusion. That is what he tries to do, and he's very good at it. You say, Pastor, why are you glorifying the devil? I'm not glorifying the devil. I'm telling you that Satan is good at his job. He knows what he's been doing. He's been deceiving people for generations untold. You say, well, you know, he deceived Eve, a woman, 6,000 years ago, but that's when everything started. Well, that's when God created man again and put man in the earth again. And that is when creation with man continued. But when you talk about the generations past, we're talking, we don't even know how infinite, how long, or how old the earth is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says in the next verse that the earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the waters. Well, we know that something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. And chaos came into the picture. And that chaos came because of Satan. It did not come because of God. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of chaos, and God is not the author of darkness. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that God is light, and in him is no darkness. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. There's not even a shadow in God. He is pure light. And so darkness came into the earth, and it came through Satan. Satan is a fallen angel. He's the highest level of angels, which is a cherub. His name was Lucifer. And when he fell to the earth, really, he didn't just fall to the earth. He was cast down to the earth. And when he was cast down, he began to bring his lies and his chaos and his confusion into the earth. And it's still here. And someone might say, well, Jesus Christ came and he died and he was raised from the dead. And now the church is establishing God's kingdom. Yes, but Satan is very much still here. You say, Pastor, you're glorifying him again. I'm not glorifying him at all. I give all the glory to God. But at the same time, the Bible says that we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. He is, the Bible tells us in James, he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is seeking to devour those who are devourable. In other words, not everyone is devourable, but the people that believe his lies are those that he is able to get into. I apologize. I said James. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, we don't want to stop there, because he then tells us how to defeat him. In verse 9, he says, whom resist steadfast in the pistis, in the faith. That's the name of our Bible school here in Southfield, and we're online around the world. As a matter of fact, if you have a desire to go to Bible school and you feel that God is calling you to go to Bible school, you need to check out our school of ministry, which is called Pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and we have an online Bible school. Whether you're in Kenya or whether you're in Israel or wherever you are in the world, you can establish understanding and get an education in the Bible and prepare for ministry. Go to the website, wordoffaith.cc. That's wordoffaith.cc. So notice here, he says, whom resist? That's us. Resist the ones who are not devourable. We resist him. The ones who are devourable are the ones who believe his lies, just like Eve woman did in the garden. And she believed the lies of the devil, and she fell as a result. And then she gave it to Adam. Now, Adam was not deceived. Adam was in transgression. Adam made a choice to choose the woman over God's word, and he died as a result. You say, what do you mean? The Bible says he didn't die for 930 years. He died spiritually immediately. He was separated from God, and that's what sin does. Sin separates us from God, and that is what Satan's job is. Satan's job is to get us to defile our garments as Christians. He cannot defile our garments on his own. As a matter of fact, again, he says here as a roaring lion. Doesn't see it is a roaring lion. He's as a roaring lion. He does not have any teeth. Jesus took every tooth out of his mouth. He stripped him and he took away his authority. And now you and I have authority over the devil. But if he can get us to shoot ourselves, did you hear what I just said? He can't shoot us himself. He can shoot thoughts at our head and try to get us to believe a lie. But then he's got to get us to turn the gun on ourselves. How do we do that? We do that with our words. That's why we're going to get to it in just a moment here. That's why he calls us to fight the good fight of faith. He says you need to resist the devil in the faith. How do we resist the devil in the faith? We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. It's our mouth that releases our faith, but it's also our mouth that releases fear, releases the curse, releases what the devil wants to do in our life. And the only way that he can do it is as if we take the gun and shoot ourselves. He can't shoot us and hurt us on his own, but he can get us to believe a lie, take the gun and begin and turn it on ourselves and pull the trigger. You say, you know, why are you talking about guns here? Well, the Bible actually calls your mouth. The Greek word for mouth is the Greek word stoma. Anybody listening that's in the medical field, you know the word stoma refers to an opening. If someone had a tracheostomy, that opening is called a stoma. And that stoma in the Greek, stome, it means the front edge of a weapon. So when he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, stome, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So you bring the blessing of God into your life by releasing faith through this front edge of the weapon, through your mouth. You speak that word. And when you speak that word, you bring the promises of God into your life. Well, fear is nothing but faith perverted. It's believing the lie and then speaking it with your mouth by taking the front edge of your weapon and turning it on yourself. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm confused. I'm sick. I don't have any money. I'm tired. All these confessions, all these words that are contrary to God's word is taking the weapon and turning it on yourself. Is anybody listening tonight? See, what Satan wants you to do is believe his lies and defeat yourself by taking his lies, using it out of your mouth as a confession and turning it on yourself. The devil is a liar, and he is determined to defeat us by inundating us with his lies, with his fear, which is an acronym for fear, is false evidence appearing real, getting us to believe his lies and then speaking them. Just a few moments ago, I was thinking about this, and then I kind of put it on the burner until we got to it now. And that is, there are times when we feel confused. Now, again, this is not a bad confession. I'm being real. And the Bible even talks about that, that there are times when we feel confused. Go back with me again to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's just dive a little deeper here. And let's look back at verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, as according as it is written, I believe that, and I have spoken, therefore we also believe and therefore speak. But back up to let's go with verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Please take a moment, open up your Bible or your iPad or your tablet or your iPhone and turn to the scripture. Go to maybe Bible.com, whatever. Pull up a Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Take the minute and go to it. That's one way that we honor God, by taking the time to open his word. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, he says, my son, attend to my word. That word attend means get busy. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Put away from you a froward mouth. In other words, speaking the wrong thing. That's why we need to put the word in our eyes, in our ears, in our mouth, and we need to say God's word and not say how we feel, not say how it looks. You know, we need to say God's word because that's what God does. Ephesians 5 says, be imitators of God as dear children. When God came down to the earth and saw the darkness, he didn't say, damn, it's dark. He didn't curse what he saw. He said, let there be light. The actual Hebrew says light be and light was. We are not to speak what we see. We're to speak what we believe, to say the word of God. Look at verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God who commanded, man, the Holy Ghost is so good. I can't make it without the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. What an awesome God we serve. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That's what I just said. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that God's glory covers the whole earth. And a lot of times people are not experiencing the glory or seeing the glory or even aware of the glory. Why? Because they're not aware of God's word. See, there are times, I'm trying to get to it here, where we feel confused. Sometimes where the way I literally saw it in the spirit is I saw a dust storm. And I've never been in a major dust storm, but I have been in some pretty major storms. As a matter of fact, yesterday we were driving and I was with my son and my nephew and we were on the highway and I said, you know, look up there. And it looked all hazy. And then it got more and more hazy. And I said, I think it's raining up there. We're still in sun and it's dry. But just several hundred yards ahead of us, it looked all hazy and it was hard to see into it. Well, imagine if you're in a dust storm. You know what I'm talking about, Gary? And that dust storm kicks up. Yep. And there are things behind where that storm is, but you can't see it because the dust has kicked up because of the wind and the dust is everywhere and you're almost blind.
Yeah, for sure.
So this is what the enemy does many times is the circumstances cause us to feel like we're in a dust storm and we feel confused. We can't see. We don't know where we're going. We don't understand why we're in the storm. What did we do to deserve this storm? Why are people doing this to me? Why is this happening in my life? Does anybody, you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I do. Yeah. Yes, for sure.
I know you do. And I think we all do to a certain degree. And many times what people do is they blame God for their circumstances. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, Gary.
I never did. Sure. I have to admit
you've never felt like it was God's fault.
No.
See, that's the same way I am. But I know a lot of good Christians and even ministers who have at times blamed God. I'm sure you've known people that have said,
of course,
God,
like, yeah.
Or maybe you can relate to this statement. Why is God allowing this to happen?
I could concur to, correct.
Right. And so a lot of times what Satan is doing is he's looking for a foot in the door. You know how when you're in a building and the door is a locked door, and someone has opened up the door, like maybe even an apartment building. And as the door is closing, if you can get your foot in that door, you can keep that door from locking. And then after the people that just went in leave,
you can go in
and they'll never know that you went
right.
in.
Yes.
That's what Satan is looking for. Satan looks for an opportunity to stick his foot in the door to keep it from closing. So it might seem innocent to say, well, I don't believe that God is doing this, but God's allowing it to happen in my life. And all of a sudden now, when we say God's allowing this to happen in my life, we're now putting responsibility on the trouble and the hurt and the situation that we're dealing with on God. We need to understand that God is not the author ever of your or my trouble. He is not the author of trouble. God is good all the time, and only goodness comes from the Lord. What happens is that people trouble themselves either through sin or believing a lie. Take, for example, John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. So if any of the trouble in your life is causing something to be stolen from you, maybe a relationship, maybe your money, maybe your health, maybe your sanity, your mind, your peace, your joy. If anything's being stolen, if anything is being killed, if anything is being destroyed, it's not from God. It's from the thief. That's Satan's job. You know, have you ever heard, Gary, when people go to a funeral and maybe it was a young girl who died, and the preacher will say, God needed another angel in heaven?
Sure, I've heard that.
Is that true or false?
False.
Absolutely 100% false. Number one, humans are not angels. And you say, oh, Pastor, you're playing with semantics. No, I'm not. Angels are real beings. We're not angels. We are actually made for the purpose of being able to be corruptible, a little lower than the angels. And yet we have been made to rule over angels. Angels are a different class of beings. Humans are made in the image and likeness of God. Angels are not made in the image and likeness of God. And so when someone says that God needed another angel in heaven and he took your daughter, he needed your daughter, he took her. Taking is thievery. If someone would, you know, I think everyone would agree that a 7-year-old girl who died of an accident or an illness or a sickness died prematurely, but died too early. And so for God to take a life would be contrary to who he is. He's not a taker. He's the giver of life. Hallelujah. So he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us life. If he's giving us life, he's not taking life. When Job said in the book of Job, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was operating in the light that Job had. And so there were a lot of things that Job did not understand. Job did not have the 66 books of the Bible. Job did not have the indwelling presence and the teacher, the guide of the Holy Spirit living inside of him. Job was around the same. Do you know when Job lived, Gary?
No, I don't know the exact years, no.
What do you think? Was it around the time of David or earlier? Any idea?
I would say earlier.
It was the same time as Abraham.
Okay.
And so think about it. Abraham's the father of faith. God's calling Abraham, and Job is around the same time. So they had very limited knowledge of God. And faith can only be exercised where the will of God is known. F.F. Bosworth said that. I got some quotes from him I want to get to tonight. I don't know if we're going to. He wrote an amazing book called Christ the Healer. And if you haven't read that, especially if you're dealing with any type of sickness or disease in your body, perhaps heart condition, blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, pain, whatever, check out his book by F.F. Fred, I forget his whole name. Fred,
it's Bosworth.
F.F. Bosworth. Bosworth. Yeah. Bosworth. And it's in multiple languages. F.F. Bosworth. And it's called Christ the Healer. And it's a tremendous book about healing. And one of the quotes that he had is he said that faith cannot be exercised. Let me rephrase. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And so there is no faith where you don't know the will of God. Well, where do we find the will of God? The will of God is in the Word of God, which is the Bible. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and it's in the Bible. And so what Satan tries to do is bring confusion into our lives. God is not schizophrenic. God is not multiple personality. God is not saying two different things. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change his mind. As a matter of fact, that verse is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. We might come back to that if we have time. Now back to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure. What treasure? The knowledge of the glory of God. In earthen vessels, we have this knowledge, so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God gets all the glory. That word power is the Greek word dunamis or dynamis, and it means miracle working power. It's God's ability, that the ability of God is from him and not of us. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side. Now, is Paul making a bad confession? Is Paul, you know, being negative? We got trouble on every side. No, he's telling you we got trouble on every side. In other words, because they have this treasure in earthen vessels and they're preaching the gospel, Satan is doing everything he can to stop the word of God from going forth. And as a result of that, trouble is everywhere. Satan ain't interested in you. Satan's not trying to stop you. He's trying to stop the word that's on the inside of you, that treasure that's inside you, that treasure of the knowledge of God's glory. Glory that's in you. Satan is after that word. You say, well, I wish I wasn't a threat. Too late for that. If you're born again, you're a threat to God's kingdom. You say, well, I don't know very much. I don't do very much. You got enough in you to whip the devil upside and whip the devil down the next side. Now, the fact that you may not be using it to your full potential, that's a whole nother issue. But Satan is after the word that's on the inside of you. If you could see what you look like in the realm of the spirit, if you could see the armor, you may not be using your armor, but you got armor. If you're born again and you abide in Christ, you are covered in the army of God and you are bright and shining in the realm of the spirit. You've got the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of truth, the shield of faith. You've got your loins girt about with truth, the truth belt. You've got the shoes of peace. You've got the sword of the spirit. You are armored up in the realm of the spirit, and Satan sees that, and he's after the word of God that's on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. He said in verse 8 once again, we're troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. That word distressed is the Greek word stenokoreo, and it means to hem closely, to cramp, to distress, to straighten, to be in a position where you are all bound up. He said, even though we got trouble everywhere, we're not locked in. And then he says, we are perplexed. This is where I've been trying to get to. We're confused. We don't know what to do. Perplexed is like, you remember the cartoons, Gary, and something happens to the character in the cartoon, like what was it called? Bugs Bunny, mm-hmm. Or the Roadrunner.
Yeah.
And you know, they get the Roadrunner has the dynamite and everything blows up, and the character is looking all confused, and you see this little circle over their head, and it's got like these question mark.
Sure. I remember
that's the
all
idea.
That.
Yeah, that's the idea. Perplexed. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what in the world is happening right now. That's what he's saying. We're perplexed. The Greek word here is aporeo, and it means to be in doubt. Not doubting God's word. That's a whole nother issue. But it's to be in doubt, wondering what in the world is happening. It means to be in a straits. It means to be left wanting, to be embarrassed, to be in doubt, to not know which way to turn. All of this stuff is being perplexed. And so Paul is not making a bad confession. He's saying these are things that happen to us. It doesn't mean I'm out of faith. It means that as a man of God or a woman of God, that there are times we get into these situations where we are troubled in every side, and yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed. We don't know what to do. We don't know why this is happening. But notice the next part. We are not in despair. Despair means we are not hopeless. There's always an answer. We know that God is going to show up and God is going to deliver me once again. Psalm 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And even as the psalmist David said, I know that even though I got trouble all around me, even though I'm dealing with issues, I know that God is going to deliver me. And Paul said the same thing multiple times, that God is my my deliverer. Praise God. Let's keep reading. He says, I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I'm cast down, but I am not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ has to do with me dying out to myself so that Christ might be seen through me and the treasure that's in my earthen vessel might get out so that many others can believe and see and come to the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, jump over with me to go to Hebrews 13. I quoted that just a moment ago. Hebrews 13. If you want to get on board tonight, if you have a Bible question, a praise report, a testimony, call me right now or email me in studio101@gmail.com. If you want to get on the air with me live, email me in studio101@gmail.com, in studio101@gmail.com. Put in the subject Zoom, and my producer Gary will send you back a link to get you on the air with us. And I need to make him a co-host. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go to Hebrews real quick. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Make co-host. There we go. Back to me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, he doesn't change, today and forever. I quoted a few minutes ago in Romans where the scripture says that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. It's so important to understand that God does not change his mind. The gifts, charis, the grace of God, the ability of God, the power of God, the spirituals that come by the Holy Spirit, he says that gift, God does not take it back. And then he says, the calling, the word calling is klesis, which means the vocation, the invitation to become a son of God, but also the invitation to operate in the grace or the office that God has called us to is without repentance. In other words, God doesn't change his mind. He doesn't say, well, I called you, but now, you know, you're acting flaky and you're acting silly and you did some stupid stuff. So I'm going to withdraw my invitation. God doesn't do that. He is always the same and his mercy endures forever. Thank God his mercy endures forever. I mean, amen. Gary, you could say amen to that one. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, I love Lamentations. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful to us because he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 9, be not carried about with different and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats. In other words, not with works, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Sometimes we think that we can do certain things to get back into good graces with God, but that's not what God is looking for. It's not sacrifices and offerings that God is looking for. It's a broken and a contrite spirit. God is looking for your heart, and he loves you because you're his son, you're his daughter. He loves you because he made you. Amen. Your father, your heavenly father, always loves you. Praise the Lord. And he doesn't bless you according to your works. He blesses you according to his goodness. Woo, I'm going to say that again. God does not bless you according to your works. He blesses you because he's just good. Amen. He blesses you because he loves you. Amen. The Bible says that when we got born again, Ephesians, that we were blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, not because of what we do. Works don't save you. Works don't make you better in God's eyes. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. You're his child. Praise the Lord. And Ephesians goes on to tell us that we are his workmanship, created to bring forth good works that God ordained for us to walk in from the foundation of the world. If you're doing good works, it's because you are recreated in Christ and your reborn spirit is now producing the works that God created for you to bring forth. But the works that you do don't save you or don't make you better. The works reveal who you are in Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. So notice here, he says, do not be carried about with different and strange doctrines. This is what Satan wants. Satan wants us to walk around confused. Now, as I just told you from 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, there are times where we are perplexed. There are times when it's like, what is going on? What is happening? How did this happen? But understand that even though you're in that moment, we are not in despair. In other words, we are not hopeless. God is with us. He is our answer. He is our helper, and he's going to get us through whatever trouble we are dealing with. And that's why it is so important that you don't stop believing. You don't stop speaking God's word. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's a lot right now of people whose faith is being shaken because they feel perplexed and they begin to listen to the lies of the devil during that perplexity. In other words, there are some that may fall. And, you know, there's some major churches that are going through major unrest because some of the leaders have seemingly fallen from grace. Now, we don't know all the details and we're not their judge, but they've fallen from grace, it seems, and they've had to step down and others have had to step up. And there's been people in those churches that have been confused and they've been perplexed. But in their perplexity, they begin to believe the lies of the devil. They begin to think that the kingdom of God is a cult and that the person who was teaching them the kingdom of God was a cult leader and all these kind of things. And their eyes have gotten on man and gotten off God, and they leave the faith as a result. They leave the kingdom of God as a result. And that's exactly what Satan wants. He is trying to defile our garments. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But that's where we have to go back and remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And every day, saints, I thank God for his mercy. Every day, it's his mercy. I thank God. Now, mercy, you know, is deeper than you might think. Actually, the Hebrew word for mercy is hesed. C-H-E-C-E-D, Hasid. And David talked about the sure mercies of David, talked about his loving kindness. That's the word Hasid. His tender mercies, that's the word Hasid. And God is ever merciful. His mercy, his Hasid, endures forever. That's his covenant to us. The Greek equivalent word for Hasid is agape. Agape is the love of God. It's the commitment that God has to us, that he loves us beyond what he may see in the moment. See, you might see yourself as a failure, as a mess, as you messed up here and you messed up there. God doesn't see you like that. God sees you in Christ. God sees you as a new creature. God sees you as his son or his daughter. God sees you as someone who's going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. He calls those things that be not as though they were. He sees you victorious. He sees you as more than a conqueror. He sees you as a conquistador. He sees you healed. He sees you delivered. He sees you prospering. He sees you full of joy. He sees you overcoming whatever situation you're dealing with. God sees different than we see. And that's why we need God vision. We need to look through ourselves, look at ourselves through his word, through the light of his word, praise God. That's how we walk in the victory. When you begin to see yourself the way God sees you, you'll begin to call those things that be not as though they were. You'll begin to say what God says about you. Use your mouth as a weapon and stop saying what you see and how you feel. You're not a feeling saint. You are a child of God. You are a Christian. You are a more than a conqueror. You are a spirit. And you know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, rather, he said that when God formed man, he said he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a nephesh in the Hebrew. Nephesh. Nephesh means a speaking spirit. He gave Adam the ability to speak his word and begin to declare what God's word says, and that's the same thing he's done with us. We have been made a speaking spirit. We are recreated in Christ, and now we're to speak God's word, and not how we feel, not what we see, but say his word. Praise God. Now, jump over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 real quick, and then I'm going to get to your questions. If you want to email me right now, you can do so instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you're a first-time guest tonight, if you've never listened to this radio show before, and I know factually, we have probably 150 new listeners. Every week we get new listeners. Email me right now. If you're a first-time guest listening to this radio show or watching on Facebook, email me. Don't put it on Facebook. Email me instudio101@gmail.com. Just give me a shout-out, and I'll give you a shout-out on the air in the name of Jesus. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Let me pull it up over here. 1 Timothy 6. Bless the Lord. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. 1 Timothy. Oh, that's chapter 4. 1 Timothy 6. Bless God. Okay, let's see. Let's start with verse 12. So he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let me read this in the New Living Translation. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Now, remember what I said a few minutes ago that F.F. Bosworth said. He said, faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, what is the will of God? Well, will of God is synonymous with the word of God. You want to know what the will of God is? Read the word of God. The word of God is the will of God. It's God's will, his purpose for our lives. And so he said, fight, the good fight, for the true faith. It's a good fight. Any fight that you win, Gary, is a good fight.
I agree.
If you're going to go into the boxing ring and you already know it's a fixed fight, you already know that you win, you already know that all the money from the sponsors is coming to you, you're going to go in there with an attitude of confidence and victory, knowing that you're coming out with the prize.
Right, for
sure. So even though you might take a few blows, even though it might look bad for a minute, if you know it's been paid off, it's a paid off fight. They've already paid them all off. It's already been fixed. You know, the Bible says that we've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. It's already fixed. All you got to do is stay engaged. Stay in the fight. Don't quit. Don't lay down. Don't give up. Don't surrender, because you win no matter what if you will trust God. And that's why he said it's a good fight, because we win. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you. So in those moments when the sand is kicking up and you feel confused and perplexed and you don't know what to do, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on eternal life. That is the true prize, eternal life, that you are going to live forever with Christ. Come on, you can get through this. You can get through it with victory. You can get through it with joy if you'll just keep your eyes on Jesus. Praise God. It's a fixed fight, and we got to hold on to it. Back to the King James, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called to eternal life and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. We are not quitters. We are those that trust God. We are those that endure, and we're going to come through with victory. Don't quit. Praise God. Amen. All right, let me get to some of your emails tonight. Just had several come in. Again, you can email me. We've got about 11 minutes left. That's instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Got an email here tonight entitled Slow Down from our friend Roy. I wonder if he's referring to my preaching, Gary. I get a little excited sometimes.
No, I don't know.
Talk
probably
a little
not.
Fast. Okay. He said, slow down. And it's a picture, a graphic here that you'd see on Facebook or Twitter. It says, sometimes God will slow you down so that the evil ahead of you will pass before you get there. Your delay could mean your protection. He is a good God. Amen. That is so true. My bishop right now is doing an awesome series on hearing from God and how important it is to hear from God about your situation. And, you know, years ago, I don't know if I ever said this story on the air, Gary. Years ago, Bishop was in California and he was getting ready to fly back. And in the morning, as he always does, he spent time with God in prayer. And in that morning, the Lord told him, don't go back to Detroit, but go to San Francisco. And he didn't know. Have I told the story before?
I think you did, but I don't remember it.
He didn't know where he was going. He called his secretary, said, change my flight, book me to San Francisco. She said, okay, how can I prepare? He said, just book my flight. He said, well, who do you want to meet when you get there? He said, just book my flight. What hotel do you want to stay in? He said, just book my flight. In other words, he didn't know what he was doing. He just knew the Lord said, go to San Francisco. And so walking by faith means you learn to trust God. When you get a word, you just learn to follow God. So he called, he was there with his music minister, and he called him and said, I'm going to, I think there was a couple others there too. He said, I'm going to San Francisco. You can go with me. Just change your flight. He said, no, it's my anniversary. His name is Jeff Davis. He was 28 years old. He says, my anniversary, I need to go home, need to be with my wife. I said, okay. So he goes to the airport, and Jeff Davis is at the airport, and a couple other people run into him and said, you know, you need, don't get on this flight. And he said, I need to go home, and, you know, God will protect me. And a lot of times that's what we do. We say, well, Psalm 91, you know, God will protect me. Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Long story short is he ignored the warnings. He got on the plane, and over Ohio, when the plane was returning to Detroit, the wings iced up and the plane crashed and all souls died on that plane. And Bishop Butler was supposed to be on there. And the news actually initially reported that he was on that plane and died. And yet he was in San Francisco. Hearing from God, slowing down, such a good word tonight, Roy, slowing down, hearing from God, because literally it could be a matter of life and death. Roy, I call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Had I told that story, Gary?
I don't remember that. No.
Praise God. That's heavy, isn't it?
It's scary.
Well, but you know what? It's not scary in Christ, because God only desires for us to succeed and prosper and live to be 120 years old. He says in Romans, in Genesis chapter 8, he said, Genesis chapter 6, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but his days shall be numbered 120. He's given us, he's promised us 120 years. But whether we get there or not depends on our obedience. Praise the Lord. Another email here tonight from Edward. Edward says, love the lessons tonight, Pastor. Thank you for the free gift. Praise God, Edward. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. It is a free gift to us, but it costs Jesus everything. Another email here tonight from Darlene. Darlene says, hi, Pastor. I had to send this to you. Thank you. It's a picture of a crown of thorns that's like hanging on a wall with a beam of light. And then it's the Bible, I believe, on a wood table. And it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, Hebrews 13:8. King James Version. Amen. I've been quoting that verse a few times tonight. Hey, Gary, praise the Lord. Somebody's paying attention. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's go over to Frank. Frank says, Jesus, exclamation mark. And it's a beautiful picture with Jesus standing kind of in a meadow with a hill behind him. And it looks like maybe it's a tomb or a grave. And he's stepping out with a white linen around him. And it says, death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't contain him. The devil couldn't stop him. And you can't get to heaven without him. Jesus Christ. Amen. That's good. Praise God. And that is so true. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't contain him. The devil couldn't stop him. And it's the same in your life and the same in my life. If we will trust God, death has no hold on you. Death is not the end. Death, you know, people think that death is a bad thing. Do you think that's true, Gary, that most people think death is bad?
Yes.
But see, what we don't understand many times is that there is no death for a Christian. Christians don't die. You say, now, wait a minute. Everybody dies, whether you're Christian or Muslim or whatever. No. Think about this now. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, he said to Adam, he said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die or be separated from God. But if Adam had not eaten the fruit, Adam would have never died. Adam was not made to die. Adam was created to live forever. That's why it took his body 930 years to figure out how to die. His body didn't know how to die because it wasn't created to die. His body was created to live forever. And yet the moment that Adam ate that fruit was the moment he was separated from God. There is no death for a Christian, because when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you receive eternal life. You don't get eternal life when your body dies. You get eternal life when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and you become a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. You have eternal life right now. Come on, everybody, say it with me. Let me rephrase. I am in Christ, I am born again, and I have eternal life right now. Come on, say it again. I am in Christ, I am born again, and I have eternal life right now. You're not going to get eternal life when you die. You got eternal life the moment you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. So when your body dies, it's just like removing the glove, the winter glove off your hand. It's the same hand, but you took the glove off. The body is your glove. And the moment your heart stops beating, the glove comes off and your spirit and your soul come out of that body. But you are the same. You have eternal life. You never die if you are born again. Praise God. Thank you so much for that, Frank. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Olivia. Olivia says, thanks, Pastor, for the wonderful teachings that you bless us with each and every week. Even though I read the Bible daily, your teachings help me to understand the word. Thank you for that, Olivia. Praise God, Olivia. And let me just give you a little clarification to everybody right now. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, he says, God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, the perfecting of the saints, till we all come into the unity or the oneness of the faith. I'm a pastor and I'm a teacher. And a teacher's job is to take the word and help you understand it, so that you don't just hear words, but you get understanding. That's why he said in Proverbs, he said, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get an understanding. A teacher's job is to help you understand so that you have clarity of the scriptures. That's our job as teachers. My pastor, Bishop Butler, is the best teacher on planet Earth, in my opinion. He can break down the word. He can talk about any subject on a dime, because he is a true teacher of God's word and always giving God all the glory. Check out our website, wordoffaith.cc. Also, check out our Toronto website, wordoffaithtoronto.com. Praise God. Amen. Call you blessed tonight, Olivia, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Pam. Pam says, hello, Pastor Ward. This is amazing. Is this amazing or what? And it's it's good. It's a picture on the side of a road of a telephone pole, and behind it is a cement slab with a fence on top of it. And the telephone pole has a sign that says one way. And the way the sun is hitting the one way sign on the telephone pole, it creates a cross. And it says here, two signs, one message. The cross is the way. Praise God. Amen. That is so good. Gotta save that one. Thank you, Jesus. Save to downloads folder. That's good. Amen. Call you blessed tonight, Pam, in Jesus' name. Couple more emails here tonight. This one is from Frank. Frank says, on a thundering rainy day, mom went to pick up her six-year-old son from school thinking that he will fear lightning, but she found him smiling at the sky for every lightning strike. She asked, why are you smiling? Son says, God is taking my picture and I need to look good. Life is simple, we complicated. I love it. Thank you so much for sending that, Frank. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another minute here tonight from our friend Catherine. Catherine says, wow, Pastor, I was watching a show for about 10 minutes and this lady was listing all of these great things to do for fun. Then I realized that it's one of the religious channels and she was reading a list of sins. Oh my goodness. Praise the Lord. Call you blessed tonight, Catherine, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Kim. Kim says, Pastor, talk to them. It's never too early to talk to your children about Jesus. Man, that is the truth. Praise God. Call you blessed tonight, Kim, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Todd. Todd says, hey, Pastor John, just wanted to send you a Wile E. Coyote dizzy perplexed picture. But thank God, 2 Corinthians 4:8 says that we might be perplexed, but we're not in despair. And it's a picture of the coyote with all the stars around him thinking, what is going on? And that's sometimes us. God bless you, Brother Todd. Call you blessed. Another email here tonight from our friend Frank. Frank says, hi, Pastor. A lot of Franks tonight. This is a different Frank. Hi, Pastor. I'm not a new listener to you, but listening, but visiting family members are tonight and will be new fans of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. Praise God, Frank. Call you blessed and welcome to all of our new friends in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Carol. Carol says, hi, Pastor John. If God is all you have all you need. John 14:8. Woo, I love that. If God is all you have, then you got all you need. Don't worry about the Rolex and all the money and everything else. If you got Jesus, you are on the winning side. Praise the Lord. Good word tonight. Call you blessed, Carol. Another email here tonight from Darlene. Darlene says, Pastor, trust. That is the answer. It's a picture of a little girl walking forward to Jesus. And it says, but I love this. She's holding a little teddy bear. And Jesus says, just trust me. I have better for you. And he's holding a huge teddy bear behind his back. Praise God. Amen. God has better for us. That's a great word, Darlene. And our last email of the night is from our friend Howard. Howard says, hi, Spirit of Faith. God tells us not to worry for a reason. He's in control and worrying isn't going to change anything. Trust him and enjoy your life. Man, that is a great word, Howard. Call you blessed tonight. And I call all of you blessed tonight. Thank you for being with us once again. And we'll be here again next Sunday night. In the meantime, check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com. Check out Word of Faith's website, wordoffaith.cc. If you want to go to Israel with us, the information is on there. We're going to Israel in September. Come with us in the name of Jesus. Until next week, I want to remind you that God is exalted, the devil is defeated, Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to The Spirit of Faith with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.